Grace to you and peace from our trustworthy Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll hear again now the words from Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So far our sermon text, and let us pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are the truth. We trust them and know that you will accomplish all that you have said you will. We know this, for you raised your Son from the dead, just as he promised. And today, as we hear these words from St. Paul, we ask that you would strengthen our faith in you. Send your Holy Spirit upon us through this preaching, so that we might be certain and serene and sure, confident in your love in Jesus Christ. Amen. Fellow redeemed in Christ, I used to know this fellow. I haven't seen him in quite a while. His name is Wayne Shook. He's a pastor in the Wisconsin Synod. And Pastor Shook is a big guy. He played football at Northwestern College, where they lovingly gave him the name Shook the Earth. He's a big guy. He served at a nearby congregation, and when the congregation that I belonged to had a vacancy, he would come and conduct the services and the Bible studies and so forth. And I remember in particular one Bible study that he held. During the entire Bible study, he held his daughter in his hand. He had the Bible in his other hand, and he taught, but he held her, and when she fussed, he'd rock her a little bit, and she'd go back to sleep. She was serenely and supremely confident there in the palm of his hand. And I think about that scene often. It's a picture that I remind myself of to calm myself when I'm worried about things, because it reminds me of how my Heavenly Father has me safely in his hand. He's infinite in power, but even more important, he loves me dearly. God loves me dearly, and so in his hand I rest securely. This thought that God loves us dearly with all its implications is really the focus of Romans chapter 8. Paul wrote these words to assure us, to reassure the Roman Christians as they dealt with real adversity. Their reason and their senses were telling them a different story, seemed to say that God must not love them. They were undergoing hardship and trouble, persecution, food was scarce at times, brothers and sisters in Christ were ridiculed, sometimes stripped and thrown before animals and gladiators for sport. Their trust in God was challenged. And Paul is also writing to us. The Roman Christians were not alone in their suffering. Suffering is a part of Christianity in a way. Did not Jesus call upon us who believe him to take up our crosses and follow him? Reassurance is needed. Even more, supernatural strength from God is needed for our faith. And so God sent his Holy Spirit to the apostle so that he could write these words that we're hearing all these years later, words that see us through troubles as well by the supernatural power of their source. This morning, take Paul's words as your own. The Spirit who dwells in you makes them yours. No one can snatch me from his hand because God loves me dearly. Say that to yourselves. Think of how these words of God saw Paul through all that he went through. Before he was called Paul, he was Saul of Tarsus. By his own admission, a Pharisee among Pharisees, he was zealous beyond all his peers. And he wanted most of all to see the fledgling Christian church shut down, persecuted, imprisoned. Even held the cloaks of the mob when they stoned to death the first martyr, Stephen. He breathed murderous threats, it says in Acts chapter 9, against the disciples of the Lord. Yet Jesus sought him out. Jesus came to him while he was on his way to persecute the Christians in Damascus and cut short his ambitions. For a while, took away his eyesight so that he could be given the substance of things hoped for and not seen, faith. From that point forward, Saul went forth as Paul. And he boldly proclaimed the good news about Jesus Christ to everybody he could. And Paul was met with the same treatment that he intended to mete out to those Christians in Damascus. He became aware of just exactly who was behind all of these troubles for the Christians. His own sinful nature. The old Adam. Or in this case, Saul, if you will, was a law of sin in him. That's what he called that old nature. He recognized by faith that he did not do as that new nature of Christ gave him to do, but instead, he did the evil that he hated to do. He fought that old nature day and night, knowing that it would bring him down to death one day. The words he was given, especially the good news about Jesus, that Jesus had not died in vain, that Jesus' death was not on account of his sins, for he had done nothing but good in his life, lived a life of true perfection. No, it was on account of the sins of the whole world, because Jesus made himself to be the once and for all sacrifice that brought God and man together in the great atonement. The good news that Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, well, that was proof positive that the power of the resurrection is for all of us. This message, this gospel, is hated by the enemies of God. Mighty angels, fallen into the demonic horde that would seek to dethrone the Lord. They're mad with sin. And they're powerful enough to destroy us very easily. They come up against God's people, clawing at hearts with vicious lies and deceit, seeking whom they may devour. And Paul was to stand before them with his face in the cannon's bore, if you will. No chance to survive except that God loves him dearly and holds him securely in his hand. None of these demons, even the devil himself, not all their hatred combined, could truly harm Paul in his eternal life. He was in Christ, guarded not only by the holy angels, but by the very hand of God himself. Power without limit, wielded according to God's gracious love for Paul and for all the world. Neither rulers, nor powers, nor past or present could harm him, nestled there safely in the hand of his Father, carrying out the Father's will. So did Paul feel secure? Well, certainly not. He was opposed by these powers, beaten by authorities for preaching, stoned and imprisoned and eventually condemned to death. And Paul saw all of this. He didn't live with rose-colored glasses on, but he did live not by sight, but by faith. And the supernatural power of God lifted his sight to see above all those who would seek in vain to take away his earthly life. And Paul said it in our text, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Take these words to heart, dear Christians. The same enemies of God who attacked Paul, they're still arrayed against you and me. And we will suffer their attacks from time to time. You know it when you choose to doubt God's word. You know it when God's word is less important to you than it ought to be. You know it. Because truth be told, you seek after what you want. Even though you know a lot of times it's not good for you. You know it when the world around you levels its attacks and its fire at you, when relatives and friends even no longer even give you the chance to talk because they're so offended by your beliefs. You know it when you look back now upon how easily you were deceived by some attractive, subtle thought, so that you thought that what was right was wrong and what was wrong was right. You know it. You confess. You confess yourself to be a powerless sinner. That's why you come here, to hear from God. He's opened your eyes. He's raised you above the spiritual mess, and he's shown to you love and protection and compassion. Paul wrote, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword?" All those things happened to Paul. And yet by faith, he answers his own rhetorical question. And this is how he would lead you to think. No matter what happens in my life, God loves me dearly. People must have thought him to be a complete kook. They could all see that his life at times was anything but pleasant. Faithful though he was, people had to wonder whether God loved him. And I'm guessing Paul did at times wonder that himself. The bruises, the shouting, the arrests, the prison guards all pointed the opposite direction from what Paul is telling us here in these words. But these people saw only with the eyes of flesh and judged everything by earthly standards, and they missed what was really going on, the meaning of these trials. And Paul probably did too. At times, it's not uncommon for the children of God to call out, "Why me, God?" I bet you've cried this way, maybe not out loud, or maybe at the top of your lungs, I don't know. Paul needed these words of God, and so do we. We need the powerful work of the Spirit who sees all things to direct our sight to the truth that's hidden behind the curtain of our lives, that God loves us dearly and has already done such great and powerful works of salvation that we are heavenward bound despite our sins, despite our doubts, despite our weakness, despite every flaming arrow the devil and his demons can launch our way, despite every hardship the world can bring upon these bodies and souls of ours, despite even cruel death, God loves you. That's the message of the scriptures. The Almighty has made his promise to rescue you, and he simply cannot ever fail. This is why Paul briefly reminds you of your status as God's elect. God knew all of this would unfold, and before history even began, he resolved. He chose you to be the beneficiary of all that he intended. That's why Paul quotes Psalm 44. It doesn't necessarily connect so easily for us, but for the people that were in the Roman congregation who knew the history of the people of Israel, this quotation reminded them that the people of Israel went through these very same things. The people of God always go through these things in this sinful world. And it always seems like God has forsaken them. But God did make good on his promises. Look at what he did with their people. He brought forth the Savior from them, not just of their race, but of the whole world. So I don't need to worry. You don't need to worry. God loves us dearly. You're more than conquerors through him who loved us. You will overcome all these troubles and trials and tribulations. You will overcome the combined might of all the enemies of God. Because God fought and won the battle already for you 2,000 years ago on that cross on Calvary. You will overcome because God has sent his Spirit into your heart, and the testimony of God is greater than all of this. Will I overcome this virus that's so plaguing our world? I know a lot of people are wondering about that and all the disruptions that it's causing. Well, you will. You will overcome. It might not be in this world necessarily, but it'll certainly be in the next. When will I overcome the temptations that I keep falling into time and again? That's another question on our minds. It might be that I conquer one or another here in this world, maybe make some progress, but certainly in the next, I will have conquered them all by the grace of God. Will I overcome the deceits and lies of the devil? Will I see the truth? Well, dimly here as a child of God, we will. But he's bringing us home. And he will dispel our doubts. He will teach us the truth of his word. Will our hardships end? Well, not in this world, but in the next. And I don't need to worry whether that's true or not, because God loves me dearly. And nothing will be able to separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. When I think about that picture of Pastor Shook holding his daughter in his hand, I think it's probably possible that he could have dropped his little peanut, but he would have moved heaven and earth to avoid it, because his daughter is dear to him. It's not possible for God to drop you, and you are dear to him. Listen to his word given through St. Paul. Listen and find the real confidence and comfort you need there. And believe him. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and believe that he's your Savior. And in faith, you will overcome. This is God's gracious promise to you. He doesn't fail. Believe him for Jesus' sake. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.